Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, once again, please welcome Gloria Copeland.
Thank you, Lady. Hallelujah. Y'all are turned on, aren't you? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We love you today. Thank you for your word, Lord. We believe your word. We take your word. We act on your word. Your word changes everything. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Give us hearing. Give us utterance, Lord. We're hungry for your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Y'all are turned on. I can tell. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad you came? Already. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're talking about faith. You know, faith is, it just affects everything you do. Without it, you're on your own. But with it, you've got victory, the scripture says. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If I'm going to overcome the world, I've got to have faith. I can't call you every little bit and say, would you pray for me? I need this, I need that. No, that is not an overcomer. We overcome by our own faith. People can help us. And you know, until we get a chance to grow up, we depend on other people's faith. But there comes a time when we have to have our own faith. And the sooner it comes, the more blessing comes. The more you're blessed, the more you're victorious, the greater it is. I love faith. I remember how it was when we didn't have faith. It wasn't that Ken and I didn't want to have faith. We just didn't know anything about faith. And when we just had to do the best we could. You know, if trouble came, you just, oh, we're in trouble. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it at breakfast. Let's talk about it at lunch. Let's talk about it when we go to bed at night. We're lying there on our pillows. Let's talk about the trouble. What were we doing? We were talking ourselves in deeper and deeper, but we didn't know any better. And you know, when you've got problems, there's just something about it in the natural. If you're in the natural, which we're not going to be, but if you're in the natural, like we were in the natural at that time, there's just something that makes you want to talk about the problem. What is that? The devil. He wants in. What was it Bill Winston said today? I thought it was so good. He's looking for a place. What is it? I think I wrote it down. It was on the broadcast this week. He said, what was it? It was good. Is Bill here? He could tell me what he said. Maybe I'll come across it. But it was just awesome. I thought, I'm going to remember that. We know that the devil, this is not what he said, but we know that the devil's looking for a place. Because he doesn't have any place. He's been kicked out of heaven. What he gets from the earth, he has to steal. And he's a thief. And if you don't do something about it, he'll steal from you. So he doesn't have title deed. Satan has title deed to nothing. Amen. Except what we let him have.
That's right.
So it takes faith and it takes courage. And it takes persistence, and it takes patience. Now, we call faith and patience the power twins, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about faith today. Yesterday, we talked about faith hears, Romans 10:17. Faith speaks, Mark 11:23, and we'll come back to that. Faith believes, faith receives, that's Mark 11:24, or takes or possesses. Faith takes possession. And so when we get, if we want to make changes, we have to become, what is the word? We have to become active. We have to be activists. We have to be faith activists.
Amen.
Or if we're not, if we don't say what we want to come to pass, and we don't believe what we want to come to pass, and then say it with our mouth, Satan doesn't move. No, it doesn't belong to him, but he's a thief. He'll take what doesn't belong to you, to him, if you'll let him have it. So you have to learn to shut the door on the devil. And you have to learn to tell him no. You have to believe you receive when you pray and hold fast to that until the change comes. That's what faith does. Faith holds fast. So I want to read you a scripture from the New Living Translation. If you don't have it, that translation, just let me read it to you in 2 Timothy. It's all about faith. Once you get a handle on faith, and you have to have a handle on the Word to have a handle on faith, because if you don't know healing belongs to you, then you're not going to believe for it. But once you get in that position, you can dominate the devil. You can tell him what he can do and what he can't do. This is the New Living Translation. It's 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. Good morning. And I don't know what happens up there in that section, but there's something that just goes off up there. So it says in verse 16, the first time... No, wait, I'm in the wrong book. Hold on. Don't go away. I'll be right back. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8. Okay. And so I solemnly urge you before God and before Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word. So here we're being charged to preach the word. That's what changes things. Preach the word of God. Be persistent. Boy, that's so important. If you're not persistent, the devil will run you over. Because he is, as Brother Hagin used to say, there is one thing you can say about the devil. He is a persistent cuss. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or not. Preach the word. Be consistent, whether you want to or not. Because you know you have to if you're going to get victory. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. So we've got to have good teaching. We need to be corrected. We need to be taught. Preach the word in good times or bad times. In verse 16, 18, let's see, where would that be? 2 Timothy, I don't know where that would be. Maybe verse 16. Here it is for Paul, in this same chapter. Here's a situation that Paul found himself in, and he found himself in these situations often. The first time I was brought, now we think we've got problems, you know. But now just listen to this, what the Apostle Paul had to say about it. This is New Living. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one was with me. Everyone had abandoned me. I hope it will not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me, glory to God, and gave me strength. That's what we've got to remember. If it looks like nobody is standing with us, that the whole world is against us, what counts is just what happened to Paul. The Lord, everybody abandoned me, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength, that I might preach the good news in all its fullness. In other words, that he might fulfill the word of God. And he saved me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack. Paul had walked out by revelation and by experience, and he had learned that the Lord delivered him from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Glory to God. Now that's our future. The Lord will deliver us from every evil attack. Whatever it is that you need delivering from today, if you do, the Lord will deliver you and bring you safely into his victory, into his heavenly kingdom. Glory to God. Paul was not afraid of the worst. He was not afraid of death. He knew the Lord would deliver him. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, did we read that? Listen to this. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering, and the time of my death is near. He knew the time of his physical death was near, but he knew that was not the end for him. What happens to you in death? Well, you leave. You, the spirit, the born-again spirit, the unborn-again spirit, you just leave. And then what happens? Well, if you're born again, you go up. to a wonderful, marvelous place. If you're not born again, you go down. And it's hell, brother. You don't want to go there. It's not fit to live in. The time of my death is near. He knew he was going up because, he said, I have fought a good fight. And don't you know he did when you read about his life? He fought a good fight. He finished the race. He did everything he was supposed to do. And I have remained faithful. So that's victory. When you go through this life, you fight the fight of faith. You do what you're told to do. And you leave here, you leave in victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have finished the race. We don't want the devil to get us out of here early. We want to finish our course. I have remained faithful. Now, when we leave here, that's how we want to leave. That's the position from which we want to go. Faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is doing whatever you've been told to do, whether it's easy or hard, whether you wanted to or not. Faithfulness. Fulfilling the call. You know, we tend to think, if we don't think in Bible terms, we think, well, this life is it. I mean, everything, this life is everything. This life is just a start. Eternity is in front of us. And so that's why we want to live to go to the right place when we do leave our body. We want to be with the Lord Jesus where there's peace and blessing. But the Bible says it's a far better place. And that's not hard to imagine. So where we're going is great. But while we're here, it's great. Because the Lord is in us and with us and blesses us and has a job for us to do and has something He wants us to do. So we want to fulfill His calling. Amen. So life is never boring. And it's good. When you're in the Lord and you're in the Word and you're living by the Word of God, then you're blessed and things are good. When you're in the Lord and you don't know what the Word says and you just kind of do the best you can, you're not going to be in victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Where do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So in order to be in the good life, in this side of glory, you're going to have to be in the Word. And that's why you're here this week. You will not leave here the same way you came. I will not leave here. I've never missed a convention. I will not leave here the same way I came. Here it is in 2009, and I'm not going to leave here the same way I came. I'm still learning and growing and taking on the Word. Hallelujah. It's good. It's good to come together and just be fed the Word of God and grow. So faith, 2 Timothy 4:7, we said faith believes, faith receives, or takes. We're going to go back to Mark 11 sometime during this study. And faith fights. Timothy talked about fighting the good fight of faith. Why is it a good fight? Because we win. Amen. Faith always wins. Glory to God. Faith is not afraid. Faith is not afraid of physical death. Faith is not afraid of sickness, disease, accidents. We know that eternal life abides in us. We know that we have angels that go with us everywhere. Glory to God and protect us if we'll give them a place to work. Angels have to have a place to work. They can't work around an unbelieving mouth. You talk sickness, death, poverty, going broke, recession, depression, all that stuff all the time. You're not giving your angels anything to work with. What do? They hearken, the Bible says. Angels hearken to the Word of God. Angels hearken. They act on the Word of God. Have you ever noticed that what that word says in English? It says, hear, Ken. I went into Ken one day and I said, look, Ken, what's in the Bible about you? Here. Here, Ken. H-E-A-R-K-E-N. Here, Ken. So he's got a leg up on the rest of us. He's written up. Hallelujah. But we have to hear. Ken has to hear if he's going to walk in victory and obey. I have to hear and obey if I'm going to walk in victory. And you know, this will probably come out later, but it bothers me quite a bit. The world we live in has no, just the world out there, they don't have any honor for God. They don't think anything about immorality and sin and all the bad stuff. I mean, the darkness is really dark. It's gotten darker and darker and darker as the time goes by out there in the darkness, and it's gotten brighter and brighter and brighter in the church as time goes by. But the world, you know, you can just tell. They don't know, as somebody used to say, I don't know if it's Brother Hagin or who, sick 'em from come on. No, it was Buddy Harrison used to say, they don't know, sick 'em from come on. They don't. They do not understand that what they're doing is killing them. And they can't live out the full number of their days in sin and immorality and doing all the things that the world counts as okay. And I am so thankful for the Word of God. And for the church. And that I'm in the church. Glory to God. And we know that sin brings death. We know that from the Bible. Sin is dangerous. Sin hinders. God blesses the obedient. And so if you feed on the world's junk, you get hardened to sin. If you go see movies about all the bad stuff and immoral things and... It's just not, you know, believers just don't do that. Amen. Believers are smarter than that. Amen. We know that we can't feed on trash with our eyes and our ears and it not affect us on the inside. Say, well, I can. I don't pay any attention to it. Yeah, well, look at you. Can you really? I don't think you can. I don't think you can, because the Bible teaches us that what we put our eyes and ears on gets down into us.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says. And so we can't be and live and talk and act like the world if we want to walk in victory. Hallelujah. So we talked about those things yesterday. Faith is not afraid of death because eternal life is abiding in us. Let's see. I wanted to read this today, and let me look it up here. I'm on my way to Hebrews, if you want to turn there. Hebrews, and I'm going to read you a quote. I don't know if I did this yesterday or not. I don't much think so, but if I did, I'm going to do it again. Hebrews 10, at the top of my Amplified Bible, I have written this. This is what Andrew Murray said. God, no, is that the right one? Wait, that's something. This is something else. That's not the one I was looking for. Where is that? Hold on. 296 in my Bible. Oh, I'm way over here in 1400. That's what's messing up. Hold on. Andrew Murray, you know, was a minister of the gospel in the old days. And he was an awesome man of God. I've read after his stuff for years and haven't read it in a long time, but he really did teach me and mark my thinking with a lot of things. Hold on, he's in here. All right, so this would be, let me just get a grip here, where he really is. Y'all aren't going anywhere, are you? Just take a little nap there while I'm looking for Andrew Murray. I just guess I have this wrong number, Dan. I don't know. What was it Andrew Murray said? I'm looking at 296 and it's not there. Maybe it's in this book. You got to get the right sword. Or it doesn't work. Okay, now I'm getting hot. Here it is. Thank you for staying awake. $2.96 in my little Bible. Hebrews, I think. You should see my Bible. You'd be amazed at how much is written in the sides of it. All right, one more page and this should do it. Okay, here's what Andrew Murray said. And it's on written up in Hebrews, by Hebrews 12. Let us run. The gospel is intensely practical. It means for everyday living, let us live like men who are running a race for life and laying aside everything that can in the least hinder them. We judge everything by one standard. Can it help me in the race? Isn't that a great thing to say? And it says here on, in verse 12 in Hebrews, wherefore seeing, chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, church, if we want to walk in victory, that's what we do. When we're corrected, when we see where we're missing it, when we see something we're saying or doing, and we realize it's not according to the Word of God, it's a weight, and it holds us back. We don't want anything to hold us back. So we lay aside every weight. Let me read that to you again from Andrew Murray. Let us run. We want to run our race. The gospel is intensely practical. It means for every day, let us live like men who are running a race for life, and laying aside everything that can in the least hinder them. We judge everything by one standard. And this is it. Can it help me in the race? Amen. When you look at the things in your life and you know there's good things and you know there's things that are just kind of on shaky ground and you know there's things maybe that are on shaky ground, you consider that this. We judge everything. Can it help me in the race? If it can't help you in the race, in the faith race, in the blessing race, in the obedience race to God, you're not going to have victory. It's a wonderful thing to be corrected. Some of you may have already, I mean, I guess we've all had some correction to some degree already, just even since we've been here. But when the Lord shines a light on things, He's endeavoring to get you to go on, to come on up, to get freer than you are right now. Aren't you grateful that we have the written Word? You know, not everybody in the world has the written Word. There are people that don't have access to it. There are people that can't read. There are people that don't have a Bible where they live. But we have the Word of God. And what does the Bible say? To whom much is given, much is required. And so we have to especially get in that race and not let anything pull us down. Hello, Dad Clark. I'm glad to see you. I've been thinking about you. You know, you are our only centenarian, as far as I know. Is there anybody else in here over 100? Don't y'all all shout at once. Glory to God. Stand up, Dad Clark. This is our centenarian. He doesn't need any help. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you for coming, Dad. I appreciate it. I was did you know he's, are you still 106 or have you had another birthday? A little past 106. Thank you, Dad. You can be seated. We're so glad to have him. And you know, he's a blessing. Glory to God. He came to the meeting last year, and he came this year, and he's coming next year, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on Dad, but he's just such a blessing to see him there. He's run the race a long time, and he's still running. Bless the Lord. That's what happens when you serve God. We ought to be living long and living strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe we'll touch on that some this week. Okay, so we got to run this race with patience, the race that's set before us. The race set before me is not the same one that's set before you. We run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So by faith, looking unto Jesus, we run this race. Amen. And we fulfill whatever God's called us to do. Now, you know God may be calling you to do something you think, I could never do that. He does not look at what you can do in the natural when he calls you to do something. Amen. He looks at what you can do in the supernatural with him. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter your natural ability. What matters is your availability to him. You can run that race he set before you, whatever it is. Let's see, now where do we want to go? I don't know exactly where I want to go this morning or this afternoon. Let's look at, we've got 10:35, faith and patience, the power twins. Look at that. Do not, therefore, this is amplified. Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence or faith, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. Don't fling away your confidence. Don't fling away your faith. For you have need, verse 36 says, for you have need of steadfast patience and endurance so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. You have need of steadfast patience and endurance. We've talked some already about faith this week, and a lot of people, I mean, I have and others have. Faith is doing, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Walking on faith is just doing whatever the Word says that you can do or the Lord tells you to do. Whether you can see it in the natural or not, you just take the next step. Amen. When God tells you to do something, you can always take the next step. He may have told you to start a church, and you think, well, I don't have a clue what to do about that. I don't know. Well, the Lord will tell you the next step. Yeah. Then you take that step, and he'll tell you another step. Glory to God. So faith is walking out the plan of God as God reveals it to us. And it takes steadfast patience and endurance. Let me read that again, and I'll keep reading through to the end. It says, do not fling away your fearless confidence. You've got to stay with your faith. Don't let anything talk you out of it. If you go at something and you don't make it the first time, go at it again. If you go at something and it didn't seem to work out, just take off again. Don't let your faith be put down. Don't let fear of failure stop your faith. Amen. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear does, in the natural realm, it brings disaster, it brings trouble, it opens you up to whatever is out there. Faith brings victory. Faith shuts the door to the devil. Faith says, you're not coming in here in Jesus' name. So fear is something that you and I don't have. We don't have any truck with fear. We don't have fear. We're not going to have fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And so we endeavor just to do what the Lord tells us to do step by step. He'll give us things that we don't have any idea how to walk through. But you know what? You can take the next step. God will show you the next step. So this says in Hebrews 10:35, let me read it through to, I'll just read it through the end of the chapter again. Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence or your boldness or your faith, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. Young says, do not fling away your free-spokenness. Your free-spokenness. Don't quit speaking. Don't let go of free-spokenness and boldness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Keep going. Keep speaking. Keep talking to that mountain. I believe that most of us that are word people and know the word, know how faith works. Where we fall down is in the force of patience. And we're going to talk about that. For you have need of steadfast. Don't fling away your fearless confidence or your faith. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. What is promised in the Word, you can have to the full. But you have to have faith, and you have to have patience, and you have to have, in the Amplified, it says endurance. So you can't be a quitter. No. You don't, you know, if you're believing God for something, let's just say if you're believing for a new house, a natural thing, a material thing. You're believing for a new house. Well, I did believe for a new house, and it didn't happen the first 6 months, I believe. It didn't happen the first year, 5 years, 10 years, I don't even know how long. But it did happen. Why? Because I didn't quit believing. I let patience, it says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, wanting nothing. So where healing's concerned, where natural things are concerned, where your family's concerned, their salvation's concerned, you don't quit until the answer comes, hallelujah, until the manifestation comes. We stay with it. That's the way we receive. For a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay. But the just shall live by faith. Now, don't dare get tired of living by faith. Don't get tired of it taking a while to get things done. We don't plan for it to take a while, but sometimes it does. You know, sometimes a person has spent years and years and years getting into the mess that he's in right now. And then he hears about faith, and he thinks it ought to just disappear in 24 hours. Well, we'd all like that, and we'd get more results if that was the way it was. But sometimes it takes a while to straighten things out. And most of all, to straighten you and me out. So what do? We have to have faith with patience. The just shall live by faith. And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. You and I are not those. And that's what the next scripture says. Our way is not of those who draw back to eternal misery and are utterly destroyed. But we, you and me, we are of those who believe, who cleave to, who trust in, who rely on God through Jesus Christ and by faith. We are those who believe, cleave, and trust in God and by faith preserve the soul. That preserves our soul, that brings things to pass in our life. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance. You're sure. What you're believing for is assured if you're in faith. What is faith? Faith is believing what the Word says rather than what circumstances say, the body says, people say. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Hope is good. Hope is a force. But hope is not faith. Hope doesn't change things. That's not hope's job. Hope's job is to keep you moving forward. To keep you going. Where you don't quit. Where you don't give up. Hope keeps you from giving up. Patience comes with hope, and it keeps you from giving up. So hope, we have things that we hope for, but faith is the proof of things we do not see. Faith is proof. Say, faith is proof. Faith is the title deed. You got a title deed to your car that says it belongs to you. Faith says whatever you're believing for based on the Word of God, it belongs to you. Yeah, but I want to drive it today. Well, it may not be in your garage today, but it belongs to you today. And if you won't give up on your faith believing for that car, it'll come. If you don't give up on your faith believing for the house, it will come. Now, it wouldn't taken me as long to believe for a house if we hadn't been committed to pay cash. That just slows you down somewhat. But, on the other hand, you just make one big payment. Instead of 30 years every month, 20 years every month, just one big payment. So it was well worth waiting on. So faith is the assurance, the ownership, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Whatever it is, your healing, your goods, your family, salvations, being the proof. Faith is proof. Faith is so powerful that it's proof. That means it is going to work. It is going to produce. It is going to come to pass, whatever you stay with in faith. Amen? We do, being the proof of things we don't see. We don't see what we're believing for yet, but we have conviction of their reality, the Amplified says. Faith perceiving as real fact, I have it. I have this healing. I'm healed. Faith sees healing even while the symptom might still be in the body. I am healed. By His stripes, I was healed. I believed I've received that house based on the Word of God. That house is mine. I see myself in it. I drew pictures. I do floor plans. I just kept that house going in my heart and in my words until that house just came up one day. No, I didn't just walk out there and it was supernaturally there and somebody else built it. No, but we got to build it. We paid for it. We live in it. We've been in it 10 years now. And it's well worth the wait. Now, we had nice places to live in between, but we didn't have the house of faith. But now we do. God is what? He is no respecter of persons. When we started believing for a house, we had no money for a house. And we were committed to cash. But you know what? If you'll walk it out, God will perform it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. You say, yeah, but, you know, you could say, yeah, but I have an inoperable situation. I have a terminal disease. Well, God he's able to fix terminal. He's got new hearts and new kidneys. He's got parts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what you have is not the issue. It's what you believe you receive from the Word of God that lets faith loose. Faith doesn't care how big the challenge. You know what faith is? Faith is just God Himself moving into a situation because somebody's opened the door. So the bigness of the thing is not a problem. Everything you see has been created by the Word of God. This world, this whole earth, this whole world, all of this heavenly system out here has been created by the same one that said He'll meet your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we know that those things happen because we believe what we see in the Word of God. So God is well able. He could give you 15 new houses if you could believe for it. All paid for and all perfect. But that's kind of a challenge for most of us. I mean, one house challenged me for a while. But you know what? It's worth it. See, faith, it may take you longer. It might take you a little longer to get the perfect thing. But all the time in your life, if you're walking by faith, you're doing better. You're doing better. You're prospering. You know what prosper means? It means to do better. So when you're on the Word of God, you're walking in faith, even if you're believing for something big out here that's not manifested yet, if you're walking in faith, you're believing, you're sowing, you're tithing, you're living according to the Word of God, every day of your life, you're going to be increasing, doing better. Prosper. I'm prospering. I'm doing better. I'm doing better. I'm doing better. So from the time you get on the Word, you begin to do better. And you begin to be more blessed. The blessings increase. But then there are big things out there that you keep on standing for and believing for. And you know what? They'll come to pass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can do it. All you got to have, as Brother Shambach says, is faith in God. Glory to God. For a little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay. But the just shall live by faith. Now, is that an option? Not if you're the just. I guess it's okay if sinners don't live by faith, because they're in trouble anyway. But this says the just, those who are justified, shall live by faith. And then it says, and if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight in him or pleasure in him. Why is that? Because God can't move in your life. You've shut the door on him. Unbelief shuts the door on God to your life. Faith opens the door. I believe God can do anything. And if I see scriptures in the Word of God, I can believe for anything. And I don't think there's a need that you can have in the earth that you can't find the answer to, the promise of in the Word of God in some form or other. So that's just the way we live. We don't draw back. We please God. It takes faith to please God. Why? Because God wants to bless you. If you don't have faith, if you're not believing Him for anything, you're not giving Him anything to work with. But our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal misery and are utterly destroyed, but we are of those who believe. Yes, that's who we are. And cleave to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus Christ the Messiah. And by faith, preserve the soul. By faith, your soul is not your spirit. Your spirit was born again when you were born. Your spirit was born again when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You have a mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. You're three parts. And this says, those who believe, cleave to, and trust in their own God through Jesus Christ the Messiah, by faith, preserve the soul. So faith, it's a spiritual force, but it affects your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. How does it do that? Well, if you're believing, let's just say you're believing for healing, and you know the symptoms say you're not going to make it. The doctor says there's no cure. Your relatives all think you're going to die. So that's heavy on your mind. But the Bible says, by His stripes you were healed. The Bible says that Jesus bore the curse of sickness and disease on the cross when He bore the curse of sin. So the Bible says you were healed. That means you are healed. But the symptoms say you're not healed. The family doesn't think you're healed. The doctor doesn't think you're healed. So what's going to come to your rescue for you to lay hold of the manifestation of your healing in view of the fact that nobody's in agreement with you? Possibly. Maybe there's somebody, but we hope so. What's going to come to the rescue? Faith. Believing. Not, faith doesn't believe what it sees. No, That's not the way it operates. Faith believes what the Bible says. So the Bible says, by His stripes I was healed. That's what faith believes. If I have faith, then I get into agreement with what the Bible says about my healing. Not what my mind says, not what natural says, not what symptoms say. Amen? So faith is the crossover between this natural realm and the supernatural realm. Like you could say, faith is the bridge from the supernatural to the natural. Faith is the bridge. Faith opens the door. It's a spiritual force. Faith's a spiritual force, not a natural force. Faith opens the door for heaven, for God, for the Spirit of God, for the Lord Jesus, every part of the heavenly world that's here to bless and to help. Faith opens the door for it to come on into this natural realm. Isn't that great? Faith is a spiritual force that comes when the Word of God comes in your eyes and in your ears. And you see what God says. And you either say, I don't think that'll work for me. I don't believe that. I never knew anybody who'd get healed. Did you? Or you say, the Word says, by His stripes I was healed. If the Word says it, it's so. So that means that by His stripes I was healed. Gloria is healed. But the doctor says there's no cure for it. But the Word says Jesus bore it for me. Faith is in the middle between the natural and the supernatural. The realm of the natural, the realm of the spirit. Faith steps out and says, I don't care what the symptoms say. I don't care what the medical report says. The Bible says I'm healed by His stripes. I was healed, it says. By His stripes, I was healed. What happens? Faith brings the manifestation. That spiritual force of faith brings the manifestation out of the spiritual realm into my body and heals my body. The one thing about it is, it doesn't always happen instantly. But you know, I think that has to do with how much we can believe. So what happens? Okay, I believe it, but I wake up tomorrow, my body's still the same. I believed it, I've received the healing, it's come over into this realm, but I can't tell it yet. What am I going to do? You're going to keep doing the same thing. You'll keep saying, by His stripes I was healed. Amen. You're going to get over on the Word side of the issue. Amen. You're going to drop the natural side of the issue that says you're going to die, and you're going to take hold of life and believe God. Well, a day goes by, a week goes by, a month goes by. What do you do? Well, you're over there. You can't let go now. You're over there. Faith has got to finish this work. How did God manage? How's He going to manage that for us? Patience. The force of patience. Faith's a spiritual force. Patience is a spiritual force. Patience is that power that does not succumb to outward trials or situations. Patience doesn't quit. Patience says, I'm healed. You get a pain, same kind of pain comes back. Faith and patience rise up. Patience and faith are working together to get the complete manifestation of your healing. Glory to God. Faith and patience. Spiritual forces for us. They're in us. They're ready to be loosed. So faith, patience comes to your aid. It undergirds your faith. And it says, don't quit now. Don't quit now. The Word of God says, by His stripes you were healed. God is not a man that He should lie. Don't quit believing now. Patience says, don't quit believing now. Don't succumb now. Don't start talking unbelief now. Just keep saying the Word of God, saying the Word of God, saying the Word of God until the manifestation comes. Glory to God. So let patience, the Scripture says, have its perfect work. Let's look at Hebrews 10:35. I was there. We did that. Let patience have its perfect work. Confidence, faith, patience, the power twins. You can't cast away your faith. You can't let go of your patience. Patience keeps faith on the move until it's finished. Till faith is finished. Till the project's finished. Till every symptom's gone. Amen. That's how we live, and that's how we do. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance, the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. This is the Amplified. Faith is perceiving as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. In other words, we can't see a difference, we can't feel a difference, but that force of faith is working in us to keep us believing God in faith, standing on the Word, not giving up. Patience comes to its aid and undergirds faith, and we keep standing until the answer is manifested. That means it's done. Every symptom's gone. Every bill is paid. The deal, the finances are in order. Hallelujah. Whatever it is. Bless the Lord. So faith and patience. Faith is substance, the Scripture says. Faith is the assurance. Or faith is the substance, the King James says, of the things we hope for. Hope is good. Hope is encouraging. But hope doesn't change anything. Takes faith to change something. Faith gives reality, substance to the things we hope for. A lot of believers are in hope because you don't get faith unless you spend time in the Word of God. So you hear about healing, supernatural healing, and you pray about it and you get your hopes up, but you don't take in any Word, and so your faith fails. And you don't let patience have its perfect work. Patience keeps faith from quitting. Hallelujah. Can you see how it works? And that's just the way it is. Faith is now, if you haven't received when you pray, you don't have it. But if you believe you receive when you pray, as the Scripture says, you have it, you keep it. Faith helps you to keep it. Patience helps you to keep it. Until it's done. Well, what if it takes 6 months? Well, what if it takes 6 months? Where would you be 6 months from now if you hadn't used your faith? Dead or still sick? These things work. Now, you can get in the habit of living by faith and walking in the Word. And you can live a lifestyle of feeding on the Word of God all the time. And you don't have the ups and downs. You'll have problems, but you won't be fluctuating. The circumstances might fluctuate, but you won't be fluctuating. That's why we get in the Word and we stay there. You cannot walk by faith and not be a Word person. You cannot keep walking by faith and not put the Word of God in front of your eyes and your ears. It just doesn't work. You have to stay with faith. If you will stay with faith, faith will stay with you. But if you say, I'm just too busy, you know, I'm real important here, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and you don't give God any time, you don't spend time in the Word, and when you read the Word, you don't believe you receive it and let it work for you, you can't live by faith. You're not going to have results. But here's what I found, and I've been doing this a long time. Faith works. And what we do, what we've done and we've learned to do in order to stay on top, where you're not going up and down and you get one trial over and then there's another. Not that you don't have to use your faith, but you get to where it doesn't bug you. when there's situations. You just knock it out. I know how I won the last time. I'm doing the same thing now. When you get to where you live by faith, and I don't think you can live by faith without doing this thing that I think is one of the most important things in our lives to do. If you want to live by faith, you have to live in the Word. Why is that? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So what do I mean by that, live in the Word? Well, you have to eat the Word like you eat food. What would happen to you if you didn't eat? Well, you'd get real skinny. You'd get weak. Your mind would stop working good because it doesn't have anything to feed on. Pretty soon, you'd just die. That's physical death. Well, what happens when you don't feed on the Word of God? Well, your spirit is still there. It's still born again. It's still in the image of God, but it's not getting any spirit food. Your spirit has to be fed. If we fed our spirits as faithfully as we feed our bodies, we would be giants of faith. Hallelujah. Now, we can do that. You eat three times a day, probably. At least once a day, eat spiritual. Aren't we taught that the Bible's spiritual food? It's food for our spirits? And when you get in the Word of God, faith comes. So what should you do? You should make room for God's Word every day. Every day. Every day. Don't try to go to work, do your deal, whatever it is. Even if I'm on vacation? Absolutely. You have to come to grips with this. You need faith. You need faith all the time. This is a crazy, mixed up world. Crazy people are out there in the world. Some of them are in authority. But you and I, we want to stay free. We want to stay blessed. Whatever happens out here in the natural realm, you and I, we can live heavenly. We can be living in our body right here in the earth, all kind of things, depression, recession, trash going on all around us, but we can live in days of heaven on the earth if we'll do it right. But we can't do it without faith, and we can't have faith without the Word. And you can't go days and days and days and not eat spiritual and have a strong spirit. There's nothing wrong with your spirit. It's just got to be fed. If you're born again. If you're not born again, then the first thing you have to do is make Jesus the Lord of your life and get born over again. Because you're never going to be able to do anything with the old man. He's a hopeless case. He has to be reborn. You can't redo him. You can't remodel him. He's always going to be a mess until you knock him off. And make Jesus the Lord of your life. Get a brand new spirit. No sin, no death. I'm going to live forever. My body's not going to live forever, but I'm not a body. I just live in this body. This is my earth suit. I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Now, I'm a spirit, and it's vital that I feed my spirit. If I don't feed my spirit, my body will try to take over. If I don't feed my spirit, my soul, my mind, my emotions will try to take over. So what do I do? Well, the Bible calls it renewing your mind. You don't just do that once. You don't just do that. Okay, I read the Bible, now my mind's renewed. No, to keep your mind renewed, you have to get in the Word every day. Why is that? Because you're living in a crazy world. You're living in a world that's overcome, just overcome by dum-dums. Why is that? Because they don't know God. They don't know what the Bible says. And if they do know the Lord, they're not listening. You and I are dum-dums too when we don't listen to the Lord. When we don't read our Bibles, when we don't do what we read there, and I'm telling you, it's not just reading, it's doing. You've got to do what it says. If you'll do what the Bible says as you go through it day by day, and all of you guys, I know you're headed this direction or you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be in this believers convention if you didn't want to go for God. Amen. Glory to God. We have got a house full of powerful, born again, spirit filled, turned on, tongue talking believers. Glory to God. And we are well able to take the land. We're well able to walk in victory. We just have to do it the right way. We have to spend time in the Word. And probably most all of you know that and you do it. But, or you endeavor to do it. But I tell you, it's something that you have to contend for, isn't it? Because there's so little time, so much going on, so many things. But this Word of God's got to be first place in our lives. Not just the time we spend in it, but what we find out in it, we actually do it. That's the key. Now, if you don't spend time in it, you won't know what's in there. Or it won't be fresh in your heart. That's why a daily dose of the Word of God is, to me and to my life, it's vital. I mean, I don't want to be lazy. I know the Word of God. I know things about the Word of God. I've studied it for a lot of years. But if I don't keep it in front of my eyes and in my ears afresh, you let things slip. And you know, you've got these voices all around you. For instance, that television set in your house, it's always screaming trash to you. The news is trash. I mean, everything. It's just, people are crazy. They think sin is the way to live, and all the junk that's in the world, the glamour, the everything that's what the Bible says you shouldn't be doing right now. That's what the world likes. The voices of the world come at you with those things. You've got to be settled. You've got to be steadfast. Amen. In God's Word to succeed in a victorious spiritual life. But we can do it if we'll give God time. And if we'll be quick to obey, it's not just reading the Word, it's actually doing what it says. And it's such a privilege and an honor, really, to us when we let the Word of God correct us. We should be quick to repent, quick to change. None of us are where we ought to be. We should keep growing. Next time you come to this Believers' Convention, you come next year, you ought to be much stronger than you are this year. You ought to be more of a fanatic than you've ever been before. Hallelujah. Why? Because we grow. I mean, we study. We get the Word in our eyes. We find out what faith does. We get familiar with it. We learn to recognize unbelief and kick it out. And we get victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You get born again by making Jesus the Lord of your life. Then you get into the Word and you let it renew and change your thinking. To think like God thinks instead of like the world thinks. The world is not headed in the right direction. But we get born again. We get filled with the Spirit. God's Spirit comes into us. And He teaches us the Word of God. And He talks to us. And He reveals things to us. And He warns us about certain things. He tells us what to do, what not to do. He tells us how to handle our affairs. For instance, Ken mentioned this last night, but a few years ago, I don't remember now how long it was, the Lord said to Ken, sell the stock. Well, we didn't have a lot of stock, but But we had enough not to want to lose it. And so we did that. We sold it. I wasn't too sure I wanted to sell it. But the Lord told him. And so we sold it. Now, we didn't have any stock to crash. Why? Because we were listening to the Lord. He said, sell it. We sold it. That's all there was to it. See, God will tell you what to do. You don't think God knows what's going to happen in the business realm? The money realm? Yes, He does. And so if you get in that gear and you get in that lifestyle of listening and doing and spending time with the Lord where you hear Him talking to you, and maybe when you start to do something, you get this, we call it an inward witness that says, don't do that, or don't go there today. Or, you know, in the tragedies, the national tragedies that have happened that have been like what happened in New York City and places, there were people that heard, don't go there. Don't go downtown today. There were people that heard, for instance, one man that I remember hearing about and his daughter, he was taking his daughter to school. And I've been led this way myself sometimes. He was taking his daughter to school, and she wanted this certain thing for her lunch. And so being the sweet father that he was, he took her out of the way to go get lunch. And they missed 9/11 because of that. They were late, and they missed 9/11. You know, God can lead you by your belly. I know that for a fact. I'll tell you this one thing, and then I'm quitting. And I've told it before, but it's a great story. Ken and I were in Hawaii one year. And the kids were little. John was just a little, about 5 years old. A little jerk, really. Just all over our room, you know. Just the kids were little and busy. And oh, my goodness. And so we were leaving that morning. If you travel with kids, that's quite an ordeal. We were leaving that morning. We had a plane to catch, and so we got up. I got up early, and I was going to pack everything, and I was going to pack the kids' stuff, and actually I was ready to go home. But, you know, I had this thing come on me. I got so hungry for a macadamia nut waffle. I got up early. I got so hungry. You know, God can lead you in funny ways. Just like that girl, that father and that daughter going out of the way to get her something she wanted for lunch, and they missed that tragedy. So I thought, okay, I got up early, I got everything packed, I got the kids ready, almost ready, and I just had to have that macadamia and that waffle. So I said, I'll go down and get a table. So I went down to get a table, and there was a line. I got in line to go out on the patio, and just as it was my turn, a guy stepped up in front of me and got my place. So see, I had a chance to get mad, and I probably didn't appreciate it too much, but I didn't at least do anything ugly. And so then the lady came, and she said, we've got a table back in the back. Well, it was so far back in the back, you could have been sitting in Fort Worth. There was no beach. There was no beautiful sky. So she took me way back here. And then we went this way, so we couldn't see anything back there. Well, that was kind of aggravating. So the kids are still now. I'm still waiting on them. And I sat down at this table. And then I got up, and I moved over to this side. And I sat down. Didn't matter. There wasn't a view anywhere. And there was a woman sitting right here. And now, mind you, I didn't have a spiritual thought as far as I knew that morning, except I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to pack my clothes. I'm taking my kids home. And I sat down here, and this woman, she just got so excited. And she said, I asked the Lord to let me sit by you this morning. Now, that could be good news or it could be bad news. It could take all morning or it could be, you know. So she said, it's a miracle. I asked the Lord for you sin. And I sat over here, and then I got up and moved over here, and she was sitting right here. I couldn't have gotten any closer to her. But this morning, it was good news. And she said, the Lord told me to give you this ring. It was a beautiful ring. It was a diamond and emerald ring, and it went around and around, you know, in a circle. It was a one-of-a-kind ring from Neiman Marcus. She sent me the papers on it later. Well, I was so blessed. She said, the Lord told me to give it to you, and I'm sewing it into you. So I received it. I blessed her. I prayed. And then, you know, we all did make it. We all got to the airport on time. I got in the airplane, and I just put that little ring on, and it was just going around. The little diamonds were just going around in a circle. And the Lord said, that's the way the hundredfold return works. It just goes, and it goes, and it goes. Every time you move, that little ring would move. Our hundredfold return is working all the time. Well, that ring was part of my hundredfold return. I didn't know I was walking after the direction of the Lord. I thought I had to have a macadamia nut waffle. But I got a ring and a macadamia nut waffle. Glory to God. So the Lord directs us and He gets us to what He has for us in a lot of different ways. But we want to learn to flow with Him. We want to keep every channel open. We want to obey Him in everything. We don't want to miss Him in anything. Now, you know, this is, 40-something years ago that happened. And now, I know more than I did then, of course. I know to expect wonderful things. I know and I've experienced what it's like to just walk out the plan of God. Every day. But you know, you have to communicate to do that. I was kind of, you know, that was a long time ago. I would expect more out of myself now. I would expect the Lord to be able to say, go down to eat breakfast. Not, you got to have a macadamia nut waffle. But it was the Lord. He was just getting with me, having me do the best He could do. I guess I was so spiritual, macadamia nut waffle was about it. We want to move with God. We want to be ready to move whenever He says something. We want to spend time with Him so whatever He says to us, if He says sell stock, buy stock, go here, pray for that person, do this, do that, buy this, we want to be able to hear it. And He wants us to be able to hear it. Otherwise, He wouldn't have given us His Spirit to live in us, to direct our path, to lead us, to guide us. It's an exciting life. Glory to God. Who's preaching after me? Oh, it's my son, Creflo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Cref. Thanks. Ooh. You sure did some fine preaching last night.
Well, I sure got that waffle on my mind.
Now, I got you thinking about that.
Got that waffle on my mind.
They are good, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get me one in the morning.
Are you going with? You going to Hawaii tomorrow?
Not tomorrow. I'm just going to go downstairs and get one.
Oh, I was going to go with you.
Okay. We'll get a macadamia
nut
waffle.
Macadamia. We love you, Chris.
Love you, too. Amen. Right before we get into the Word, you know, what you just heard is absolutely spiritual. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we have an opportunity to, when we receive the Word as we have, to sow into it. And Galatians says, when you give to the Spirit, then you will reap eternal life. And I believe that you're going to reap the very life of God. the very essence of God. When you hear spiritual things and then you begin to sow into those spiritual things. You know, that same thing happened where Jesus was concerned with these. I can read it to you, Luke chapter 8. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the son or the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him, Jesus, of their substance. So they ministered to him of their substance. Well, somebody says, well, why? Well, he ministered to them. He preached and he began to cast out devils. He began to heal them and get them delivered. And as he ministered to them and met their spiritual needs, they responded properly and ministered back to him as a result of it. And that's scriptural. The Bible says when you have received spiritual things, then it's absolutely appropriate for you to respond with your material things. And so we have the opportunity. You have heard over and over again this understanding that we gain on how we live. And I tell you what, there are some very weird, crazy things going on. Just crazy. I mean, you know, people don't understand the relevance of the Bible. And they respond, well, what does the Bible have to do with this? They don't understand. I mean, their minds have been just, yeah, reprobate crazy. You're just looking like, what is wrong with you people? You know, you have to really go into prayer to get yourself together because, you know, you can come out sometime and think, you know, y'all crazy, you know. And yet God has called us to minister to the Word of God. The Bible says when he says he hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind that has thinking that lines up with the Word of God. You cannot have a sound mind when your thinking doesn't line up with God's Word. But when your thinking begins to line up with God's Word, then your mind is sound. And so God's given you pastors and people to watch over your soul to make sure that you're getting, you know, the Word and getting it right. And that's what this ministry stands for, that your soul, the engrafted Word of God, engrafted now, the Bible says, will save your soul. And that's what happens when you get into these meetings. That Word is being planted and engrafted into your heart, and it will save your soul. And your soul won't be out there thinking like everybody else is out there thinking. And so let's take advantage of this opportunity to sow. What you're doing is you're really, I believe over the next several months, you're going to begin to see mighty harvest from all of the seeds that you have sown in this meeting this week. In fact, why don't I just make a decree right now in the name of Jesus? And I decree, first of all, mighty wisdom to come to you. And then I decree, secondly, mighty finances to come to you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So go ahead and sow into this. If you need an offering envelope, raise your hands. And ushers will take note. And plant. Glory be to God. Plant. I'm just sensing in my spirit there is a mighty breaking out and breaking forth that is about to take place in the lives of the believers who would not let go of God's Word, who wouldn't let go of it no matter what it looked like, no matter what it seemed like. You just wouldn't let go of God's Word. And as a result of it, ladies and gentlemen, we keep on giving. We keep on sowing. We keep on planting. Well, that's how we think. We think in line with God's Word. That when an opportunity to sow into the Spirit shows up, then we take advantage of that opportunity to sow into the Spirit, and we begin to reap, oh, so far above what this world system can grant to us. We reap eternal life. We reap Zoe life. And we get a hold of the things of God, and we begin to reap it. Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus, I'm so excited. I am going to feed you so much word today, you're going to want to bite the back out of the chair in front of you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Because where else can you go and find a bunch of greedy people for the word of God? They sit in sessions all day long and still want some more, want some more. Glory be to God. I love hanging around greedy folks for the word of God. Folks who sniffing out the glory. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so you just pray for me so I won't get so excited that, I'm already excited. I am just, son, I'm so excited I could slap a little devil imp. Oh. You know, you start thinking about God's goodness. And just, he's just been so good, you know? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, ushers, go ahead and receive the offering. You tell that seed to go and grow, and I'll see you soon. Go and grow. I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Romans chapter 10. We're just going to pick up right where Sister Gloria Copeland left off and talk about some faith, praise the Lord. Feed your faith. And starve your doubts to death. Amen. I think I'm going to use both podiums. Just kind of use up some of my energy. I'm just like, yeah, baby, just hush, you know. Like I've been sipping on gunpowder soup, ready. Just, yeah. Romans chapter 10. You want to stand up just for a moment? Just stand up and get your blood flowing. Amen. Let the blood flow where it needs to flow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Now, Father, I thank you that our ears are open to hear. I thank you that behind every scripture, we're going to hear the voice of God. I thank you that behind this sermon, we're going to hear the voice of God. You're going to speak, God, and we're ready to obey. And we thank you that obedience gives birth to blessings. We give you praise for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Now, this afternoon, we're going to lead into that area of trust. As we talk about faith and the importance of it, you know, we hear about trust, but I really want us to dig into it. And so Romans chapter 10, verse 17, let's read verse 7. I was expecting that. Praise the Lord. I love it, man. Romans 10, verse 17. Let's read out loud. Ready? Read. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, faith by hearing, faith by the word. So we have to have the word because faith grows out of the word like corn grows out of a corn seed. We have to have the word. We must not forget about how important that is, that when I'm believing God for something, I go to the word. In fact, when a temptation or a trial or something comes up, the first act of a believer is to go towards the word. You get bad news or the doctor gave you something and you go to the word. You're going to the word because that's the place where You're going to go to get the answer. You're going to get the scripture that covers the situation that you may be involved in. And then out of that scripture, out of that word, faith is going to grow. Now understand something. The word of God has been given to us to show us how to believe. Now watch this for a moment. The word of God, or words in general, words will determine how you think. Words or images will determine how you think. And then how you think will determine how you feel. And then how you feel moves on to this place of your decisions. But now watch this. Wrong words will determine wrong thinking. Wrong thinking will determine wrong believing. And wrong believing will determine wrong confession. And you're going to lose. Now, if you want to win, the Word of God is that place where we start as believers. We start with the Word. When we get the Word of God will show us how to think right. The Word of God will show us how to believe right. And the Word of God will show us how to confess right. And then what happens? We win. We win. But now imagine the lives of people who will not allow the Word to be the final authority in their life, and they will not engage the Word when trouble comes. Well, I mean, what then determines their thinking? Well, it's the things that they hear. And when you're not hearing right, when you're not getting the Word of God, you're not going to get sound thinking. All right, now, if you're not thinking sound, guess what? You're not going to be believing sound. Amen. Your believing is going to be off because you're listening to the wrong words. Now, if your thinking is off and your believing is off, then your confession's going to be off. So you've got to be cautious to not allow things that oppose God's word to determine the way you think. And when thoughts come up, you may have to examine it and ask yourself, where'd that come from? Where did that way of thinking come from? Where did that mindset come from? You know, in Romans, it talks about, minding the things of the spirit and minding the things of the flesh. You know what? The flesh is more than just this physical body. The flesh is a way of thinking that opposes the word of God. The spirit now is also walking in the spirit. You know, there's no greater walk in the spirit than the love of God. But watch this. Ultimately, the walk in the spirit is also going to be a way of thinking. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken on you, they are spirit and they are life. So if we're going to walk in the word, then he says that word is spirit. So listen. If you're trying to be spiritual, you do that by walking in the word. Now, if you're trying to be spooky and calling it spiritual, then you're just spooky pooky. Are you listening to me? So you a walk in the spirit. When I begin to walk in the spirit, it is a mindset that lines up with the word of God. Walking in the spirit is a way of thinking that lines up with the word of God. Walking in the flesh is a way of thinking that opposes the word of God. So now the Bible says, now here's how you get free. He says, if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or if you walk with a mindset that lines up with God's word, then you won't fulfill a mindset that opposes God's word. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So we've got to make sure we get the word of God, because the word of God's going to make sure we have right thinking. And the word of God's going to make sure we have right believing. And the word of God's going to make sure we have right confession. And we are going to win because we have chosen to do it God's way instead of the world's way. Amen. Now, isn't that what Brother Copeland's been talking about? I mean, this word on covetousness. Oh, my goodness. Well, see, you walk in the flesh long enough, And the works of the flesh will come as a result of allowing your thinking to be governed by those things that oppose God's word. And so we've got to understand that. Now, so the word is the seed. And when planted properly, when we go get the word, trouble comes, situations come. The first thing you do as a Christian, go to the word. Get something out of the Bible that will cover what you're going through. That's your first move. That's your first move. Something shows up, I go to see what the word has to say. Because if you don't go and see what the word has to say, then you may open yourself up to hear what everybody else has to say. And then either fear comes in, and what real fear is, the number one fear that Satan's trying to get in our life is the fear that what God said in his word won't come to pass. That's the number one thing he wants you to be afraid of. He wants you to be afraid what God promised won't come to pass. He wants you to be afraid that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He wants you to fear that that won't come to pass. Okay? So what we've got to do is immediately engage the word. I engage the word that covers the situation in my life. And now I am basing my thinking, my action, my confession on that word and not on the circumstances, situations, or even what the news media is reporting. None of that. I'm basing it. See, I'm not, when the whole finance crash, all that stuff happened, no. I base my life and my finances on what God said in his word. So whether Dow Jones fell or stayed the same, or I'm not operating by that system anyway. I'm basing it on what God's word says. Now, what tried to happen all this time? Pumping that, you know, that bank closed, or they've laid off 21,000 people, or, you know, dear God, it looks bad. Those are words that contradict God's word. And when you begin to spend more time with the contradictions to God's word, then you are spending time with the seeds that can give birth to fear. And when fear shows up, it contaminates your faith. And now all of a sudden, you got wrong thinking, wrong confession, wrong believing, and you lose because you listen to the contradiction more than you listen to God's word. But we stick with the book. We stick with the word. We stay on the word. We're not moved by what they're saying. We're not moved by what they're showing. We're not moved by their studies, their graphs, their charts. No. We've already decided before any crisis that we go to the word. And that is what we're going to continue to do. Speak it, think it, say it according to the word, and we will win. Okay? Now, let's go to Hebrews. You know what? I think I better take this down there. I'm going to have aerobics exercises going on. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And let's read that out loud once again. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Ready? Read. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is, the Bible says, and the assurance. It's the confirmation. It's the title deed of the thing that I hope for. But now I gather my faith from the word. Faith grows out of the word. So you are enhanced or limited based on, you know, your first action to engage the word. Faith is the substance. It is the confidence. It is the assurance. It is the confirmation. It is the title deed. And so what happens by me getting this word and engaging this word, now what am I going to do with it? Well, what happens when a man gets corn seed and he engages the corn seed and he puts the seed in the ground? Well, he's got to farm it. He's got to farm it. And so likewise, we not only put it in the ground of our heart, but we're now commit to farm it. The man's not going to put it in the ground and then disappear for the next 6 months. No, he's going to put it in the ground with the commitment to spend time with it, to water, to fertilize, to keep out the enemies. He's going to work with that thing. He's going to be there. It's going to be a commitment there. I don't want you to remember that word, commitment. Say commitment. Commitment. It's going to be a commitment to the seed. Hallelujah. And the seed now begins to grow. Faith now begins to grow out of that seed. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of your heart will flow the issues. Another translation says, the forces of life will come out of a man's heart, the ground. And you spend time with that, and it grows up. Confidence grows up. Assurance grows up. The title deed grows up. The force grows up. All of a sudden, the thing that doesn't exist in the physical world grows out of that word seed. And what you could not see at one time, now you're seeing it. So our lives, I believe this wholeheartedly, our lives are a sum total of the word seeds we have allowed to be deposited on the inside of us. And then they grew up. And they grew out of us, and what we have in our life is a result of what we were listening to, that caused us to think a way, that caused us to believe a certain way, that caused us to confess a certain way, and then that thing is there. Now, what I would like to do this afternoon, and please understand, if you are unwilling to make the adjustments to do what I just explained, you're just not going to be too victorious in your faith life, because, you know, I've met some Christians who want to be Christians without the word. Well, how does that happen? You know, I want to be a Christian, but I'm not really interested in the Bible. Well, I can just give you a T-shirt and you can just. I'm not going to say that. It's the whole foundation. It's the base. It's the ground. It's where all that can be grows out of. And we have to have it now. Now, what I'd like to do, you pretty much, and Sister Gloria really helped me just by teaching on this subject, you pretty much should have somewhat of a hold on this life, living faith, and this life of faith. Now, I want to introduce and deal with this area of trust. I want you to see how trust goes along with this, and then make the distinction now between faith and trust so that you can see how to work them together and won't ever be fooled by the devil where this is concerned. So let's look at some things here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, boy, I'm excited. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody said, why are you so excited? I know what's getting ready to happen. Oh, Jesus. That devil think he got you. No, you can't. You are not going to ever be defeated. Because faith is your victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the power that will bring the world to its knees. All right, now. Lord, help me to really take my time. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's look at verse 7. Let's read verse 7 out loud. Ready? Read. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Read that again. Blessed is the man, and whose hope. Now, those that trust him are totally dependent on him and no one else. When you trust God, I know we've heard this. I mean, your relatives have said, baby, just trust the Lord and everything will be all right. And somebody else said, just trust the Lord. And all of that is true, but I don't want it to become, you know, to be numb when you hear it. Oh, yes, trust the Lord. What is he saying? Well, to trust God, it's I'm leaning on him and dependent on him. I rely on him. I know his source. Let me get there. I'll tag you in to preach in a minute. When you lean on something as depending on it for your help. I've seen elderly people have the little walker in front and they're leaning on it for help. And while leaning on it, they have to trust that it is able to do what it was designed to do. They lean on it. When you trust, you not only lean on it, but you rely on it. You not only lean on and rely on, but you depend on it. Oh, my goodness. All right, now watch this. You're leaning, you're relying, you're depending on it. It now has become the only source. Say amen up there. It now becomes your source for living.
Amen.
That you're not dependent on anything else to be your source. You're not looking at the government to be your source. You're not looking at the stimulus package to be your source. You are, and listen, and please don't mind me saying that you need to develop in this. That you spend time with God and you start trusting him by leaning and relying on him. You know, maybe when you get the first pain in your pinky, maybe you can, you know, do some things. But you say, you know, Lord, talk to me. I'm leaning on you. The first thing you do is engage the word. Every time something happens, you engage the word. Every time something comes up, you engage the word. Every time you hear about something, you engage the word. Why? Because you begin to live this life of faith, but he becomes your source of supply for every arena of your life. Somebody shout, I trust God.
I trust God.
Now, according to this scripture, notice what happens when you and I, we make the decision, you know, we get born again and we say, you know, from this day forward, I trust him. I trust him for my livelihood. I trust him to heal me. I trust him where my family is concerned. I trust him where my children are concerned. See, what some folks do in the body of Christ, they try everything that the world has to offer, and then when that fails, then they're going to want to go and try God. No, I don't. This phrase, I'll try. To me, I'll try is an honest lie. Yeah. You coming to church tonight? I'll try. Just say no. You know. It's not talking about, let me try everything else while I don't even consider God at all, and then when everything else is proven not to work for me, then, you know, there's always God. No. I am saying at the confrontation of a thing, the way that I am going to retaliate is with the word. I'm going to go to the word. I'm going to stand on the word. I am dependent on the word. I am leaning on the word. Just the other day, there was, you know, I don't know what gets into people, but we own about 200 acres of land on the outside of Georgia. And it's the neighbor wanted to sue us for access through our land. And, you know, I'm like, I haven't even met you. In fact, I didn't even know there was another house on the other side of those woods. And you want to take me to court for that. And I'm thinking, like, whatever happened to, you know, Christian people not doing that and me not knowing whether he was a Christian or not. And I thought, wow. So he proceeds to take me to court to see if he can have access to the land, go through the gate, drive up the driveway so he can have hunting rights on our property. Well, you know, that's not working too well with us. Now we've graduated out of our house, you know, three kids. I got two more to go. And I don't want stray bullets going around or any of that kind of stuff. And I've got gas tanks on the property. You know, that's just not working. And so, first thing I did is I went to the Word. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Oh, Father, I'm going to take that one. What else am I going to take? All right, if he contends against me, then he'll have to contend against you, Lord. All right, and then the Lord said, now, while you're doing all that, pray for the man's salvation. And then we're getting ready to go to court and find out, well, he knows the judge, and they go way back. And I'm thinking, well, it doesn't matter. No weapon formed against me shall not prosper. Then I got to thinking, you know, I don't need many scriptures to whip the devil. All I got to do is grow some harvest out of this one. And it got in my spirit, God causes me to triumph. God causes me to win. I win every battle all the time. I always win. I never lose. And I got to meditating on that. God causes me to triumph. And then one morning I woke up and I saw it. Oh, God's the cause of my victory. God's the cause of my triumph. I always win. I'm winning right now. I never lose. It's impossible for my faith to lose because my faith is my victory. Glory be to God. I was so stirred up. Well, it was time for the hearing. And you know, I'm employing all I know. I take communion over this because I don't know. You know, you never know. You know, I'm not going to the church. Now, at our church, we have a judge. I mean, a real judge and lawyers to handle the conflicts of members. They agree not to take it to the world. They bring it to a just judge and we work it out there. I mean, a whole court set up and everything, you know. But this was not that set up. And I don't know what this guy thinks about me or anything. And so we take communion over it, and I'm singing songs on how I win and never fail. How I win and never fail. It's impossible for me to lose because what grows out of the Word of God is nothing but victory. Glory, I have the Word. Don't know what they have, but I have the Word. And I thought, this man can't come and covet my property. That's why I was so blessed with what Brother Copeland was teaching. I'm like, you just can't come and how do you think you can do this? And oh, boy. So we got there, and the favor of God was just, it was real. It was just so, you should see this. The former owner of the land who showed it to me showed up. Well, when he showed up, he knew the district attorney. The district attorney knew him. And then the guy over there who was the sheriff was dating the former owner's daughter. And then they know him. And then somebody came up around there and knew him. Then he came by and said, let me go and soften the judge up for you. I said, he mean that? He said, he sure do mean that. And then the judge comes out and then he hears some of the case and he says, oh, by the way, I used to be in real estate. You know that? And I'm thinking, well, what does that mean? He says, well, according to Georgia law in real estate, that just sounds like you landlocked. He said, oops, I didn't mean to say nothing, but, you know, and the guy kept talking and the guy started looking ridiculous. The one who, and after it was all over with, judge says, I've heard all I want to hear. He looked over there, winked at me and told my lawyer, just fill your papers out and I sign it. Looks like you won this thing, man. And I said, I never lose. I never lose. God causes my victory. Are you hearing me? God causes my victory. But see, I didn't start off leaning on my lawyers. I didn't start off depending on the legal system. I started off leaning and relying and depending on what I can get from the Word. Hallelujah. Faith is my victory. So now what happened? What was it that happened? What was it that was released in that courtroom? Let me show you. Well, yeah, you have faith, but let me show you as a result of my faith. Look at this. Look, you still in Jeremiah 17? Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Check out what is being made available to the man that leans on, relies on, depends on, and has made God and His Word the source. Notice what is released. The blessing. The blessing. The blessing, I want to remind you, it is an empowerment. It is an empowerment from God that will cause you to be successful in every endeavor that you confront. When the blessing is released, hallelujah, glory to God, losing is not an option. And the blessing is released when you make the decision to rely on and depend on and trust and make your source the provisions that God has given you through His Word. And you want to see the blessing show up? Start leaning on God. Start depending on God. And every time something comes to try to contradict, to try to make you think that God's ways and words won't come to pass, you just start, you load the word of God up with song and you release it in praise. You just hallelujah. And listen, don't wait for somebody to write a song about your situation. Write your own song about your situation. You get in that bathroom where it echoes real good and you start singing about your victory. I'm gonna win today. I'm gonna win today. I've got triumph. Yada boo ba bay. Do not allow the atmosphere of fear to come and try to rob you of what you know you have. I am blessed because I trust God. Somebody shout, I'm blessed because I trust God. Trusting is the highway to continuous triumph. Relying on God and making His word and His, your source in life, that is the highway to continuous triumph. So no matter what comes up and the things that confront me, I've decided, you know, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to be moved by this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you may think, well, you know, that's easier said than done. Oh, yeah, listen, man. Hey. I'm going to trust God while people are talking about me. I'm going to trust God while they're lying. I'm going to trust God while the media is making me look like everything except the child of God. I am going to trust God because the end part of that scripture says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Watch this. And every tongue that rises up against you, he says, you will condemn. You know what that means? I love what my wife says. She said, those who heard the lie will hear the truth. Amen. Somebody shout, I trust God. Therefore, I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at Psalms 34. Yes, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody says, well, Brother Dolly, just don't look like it's going to turn out victory. Don't be moved by what it looked like. Didn't look like the children of Israel were going to get to the other side. Hallelujah. Didn't look like Daniel was going to get out of the lion's den. Didn't look good for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did it? Hallelujah. Didn't even look like Mary was telling the truth, did it? You can't be moved by what it looked like. Psalms 34, verse 8. Now watch this. Psalms 34, verse 8. Let's read verse 8 out loud together. Ready to read. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that. Oh, there it is again. The guy who has made his mind up to depend on, lean on, rely on, and make his source. The Bible says, I will release an empowerment on this guy. The guy that leans on me. I'm not going to let you be ashamed. The guy that's depending on me. I'm not going to let you be put to shame.
Amen.
The guy that's trusting me, what's going to happen is you're going to be blessed. You're going to be empowered to have success in this situation if you will lean on me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then look at verse 22. He said, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Listen to this in the Amplified. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. And none of those who take refuge and trust in him shall be condemned or held guilty. Oh, praise God. You got to understand that I take refuge in God and I take refuge in his word in the midst of an attack. Now, let me tell you something. Don't you for one moment allow the appearance of lack to cause you to take a second thought about what God promised you in his word. Don't you let it happen. Don't you let it happen, praise the Lord. You take refuge in God's word. Praise God. You trust in him that, listen, I know right now it doesn't appear. But remember, faith is not going to minister to my sensory mechanisms. You know, I think we've got to be very cautious, Sister Billy, not to become too civilized where we won't move like God tells us to move. And I think that a hallmark of these last days, God is looking for some people who will just flat out do what he tells them to do. I believe that. And when he can find that person who will run when he tell him to run and shout when he tell him to shout and give when he tell him to give, when he can find the person that will break free from the program for one moment, that's when I believe you're going to see what you've not been able to see thus far. Because I don't want to become so civilized as a preacher, so proper as a preacher, that I'm not willing to hear from God and do what God. I'm hungry for a manifestation of the power of God in these last days. So that means I cannot be in bondage to people, because until I get delivered from people, I cannot be delivered to people. Woo, Jesus. I trust God. I have to trust God where that's concerned. I got to trust God when God, you know, talks to me about, well, say this. And I'm like, wait a minute, Lord, if I say this, this is not going to be politically correct. And if I say this, then people might leave the church. And if I say this, and he said, I said it in my word, how come you can't say it out loud? And see, you got to be ready and willing to trust God that, wait a minute, I lean on God. I'm not leaning on myself. That's why these people coming. I'm not leaning on myself just cause that. No, I'm leaning on God. I didn't do this anyway. Sometimes you need to have a flashback and remind yourself who's responsible for where you are right now. If you have ever experienced anything good, it is because of God Almighty, and he deserves your praise. He deserves your praise. And I was sitting up in a stadium at a football game one time, and I started noticing just around me. You know, you become acquainted, you know, when you get season tickets, you know. And people begin, they don't mind standing up. Every time a big play, we stand up. You try to sit down, but you can't because people in front of you stand up. Everybody stand up. And then everybody make a noise. And you don't have to, you know, prime them and pump them to make noise. They're just cheering. Hallelujah. And then everybody, I mean, when something good happens, they turn around and high five folks they've never met before. Glory be to God. And they're sweating. Hallelujah. And don't mind sweating. Glory be to God. And I thought, we are doing this at a football game over pigskin, over a football team, and the football team didn't die for my sins, and the football team didn't get up for my and I begin to recognize that if there's anybody that is worthy of my hand clap, if there's anybody that's worthy of my sweat, if there's anybody that's worthy of my shout, Jesus is worthy of it all. Woo! He's worthy. Woo! He's worthy of my dance. He's worthy of my song. He's worthy of my shout. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my money. Jesus, I trust him. I rely on him. Got to have him. Don't want to live life without him. Amen. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not talking about depending on him. Hallelujah. Just when things are going right. I'm talking about trusting him even though it doesn't appear like things are going right. Because when you talk about trust, trust is a level of commitment. Trust says, I'm not going to be moved. Trust says, you're not going to be able to knock me out the way. Trust says, if I fall, I'm getting back up again. Trust says, if I don't get the prayer answered today, I'm still standing right here. Trust said, if I don't get the harvest today, I'm standing right here. Trust says, there's nothing you can say, there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can show that's going to cause me to separate myself from God. Who shall separate me from the love of God? Nothing. That's what trust says. That's what trust says. Trust is eternal. It's eternal. I'm in it, baby. I am here. You cannot change my mind. I don't care how many times Dow Jones go up and down. I don't care what they do in the world. I trust God. I trust God. Well, you don't understand. I lost my 401k. It ain't that. Bye, but I'm not leaving God. They closed my job down. I'm not leaving God. I'm not leaving God. Do what you're going to do, but I'm not leaving him. I'm not going nowhere because God has been too good to Creflo Dollar. He's been too good to you. Somebody shout, I'm blessed because I trust God. All right, Matthew chapter 6. Ooh, Jesus. Lord, have mercy. I believe in here this afternoon, somebody going to phone home. Some breakthroughs are taking place right now. Oh, I trust him. I trust him. I know what the doctor says, but I trust him. Hallelujah, hallah. I know what the ledger looks like, but I trust God. It's going to be all right. He has never let me down. I'm a winner. I'm winning right now. You might not be able to understand that, baby, but I'm winning right now. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That blessing is working for me right now. That blessing is working around me right now. That blessing is working in me and through me right now. That blessing is working for me right now. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Woo, I'm blessed. In the city, I'm blessed. In the field, I'm blessed. Going in, I'm blessed. Coming out, I'm blessed. All right. You in Matthew 6? Man, we still in the introduction. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You have to forgive me every time. Now I have to take a praise break every now and then. Just think about the goodness of the Lord. Think about the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 6. And I notice this now. Jesus is talking here, and he was talking about anxiety in the kingdom of God, and he mentioned something here. Verse 31, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? And I thought, the only way not to take thought for your life is to trust God. The only way not to take thought and end up opening your mouth and confessing and saying things and is to trust God. And when you've made your mind up to lean and rely and to trust him, where he's the source of how you're going to get out of this, you won't take that thought. You trust God. Now, in the midst of all of the things that are happening financially, let's now address trust where this issue of finances are concerned. You know, many people are giving in worship, but they never enjoy the blessings of God. And why is that? Why is that when people, they give in worship services and they don't enjoy the blessings of God? Because they're not dependent on God for their needs. They're not dependent on Him. And so they keep suffering because they're not relying on Him. They depend on welfare and they depend on the stimulus package coming. Oh, dear God, did you get your 20 extra dollars? They depend on Big Brother. They depend on government, but they're not depending on God. They're not dependent on God. Well, what is that when you're dependent on everything else and not God? What is that when you trust everything else and not God? Well, go back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17 and look at verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now, to be blessed is to be empowered to have success in every endeavor of life. To be cursed is to be empowered to fail. And you're trying to figure out how come things aren't working. Well, instead of me trusting, relying, depending, and making God my source of supply to deal with these issues of life, what I've done is I have put my trust in the world's way of thinking, the flesh. I put my trust in the world's way of doing things, the flesh. I put my trust in the mindset that opposes God's word. And in my heart, I've departed from God. So what happens to a guy now who relies and depends more on his way of doing it? That he feels that, well, I trust me more than I trust God. I trust what I've been, my way of being educated, and I trust, all of the things that I've learned from the world. It's that covetousness that Brother Copeland's been talking about. I trust all of that more than I do God. Well, what happens? Now you've opened yourself up to receive an empowerment to fail rather than opening yourself up to, by relying on God and opening yourself up to an empowerment to have success. Who you trust more? Who you trust more? Are you really trusting the government more? Are you really trusting what the world tells you and the different schemes that they come up with? I mean, for every situation that happens in the world, there's going to be some worldly person to come up with a way of how to take advantage of it and make money from it. So again, who you with? Because that's going to determine what you get. Are you going to be blessed? Are you going to be empowered to have success? Or are you going to be empowered to fail? So many people love God. How many of them trust God? Let me show you something. Go to Psalms 125. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Boy, I praise God for y'all. Y'all been in here all day long and still just as greedy as you was at 9 o'clock this morning. I mean, you can't even tell. You ought to see y'all. Y'all sitting on the side of the seat. Bring it on, dollar. I'm like, God, dog, ain't you full yet? And y'all like, no, I ain't fool. Keep bringing it on. Bro, you understand? We got 3 more days. Bring it on, man. What's up? We just started eating. And those that hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. And listen, and what you have to understand is that is the currency in the kingdom of God. for the power of God. It's when you get hungry and when you get thirsty, that's when you're going to start seeing results happen in your life. So stay hungry. Stay thirsty. And stay greedy. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, I smell victory in this place. Ooh. Oh, my goodness. When that all starts working on you, the devil loses his grip. Glory to God. Circumstances can't hold on to you like they used to hold on to you. Hallelujah. You're slipping out of their grip. Glory to God. Because you're deciding, wait a minute, how have I been thinking? You grab a hold of yourself. Wait a minute. I'm a Christian. I walk by faith and not by sight. God is my source. He's already delivered me. He delivered me 3 years ago when they said I wasn't going to be delivered. He brought me out of a pit 2 years ago. He healed my body 9 months ago. Last week, he met my need. And if he did it once, he'll do it again. Hallelujah. I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm blessed. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Ooh, ooh, Jesus. Orabasa. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, 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 ooh. Mm. Ooh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I mean, can't you smell it? Breakthrough. Can't you smell it? Breakthrough. Glory be to God. Can't you smell it? Breakthrough. Shaka-ka-ka-la-la-baha. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. My God. You can't stay the same. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Mm. 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 Yeah, hallelujah. It's just rising up on the inside of you that you just know in your knower that everything's all right. The worry is just going away. The stress is gone. The cares have been cast away. And you don't know exactly how he's going to do it, but you know that he will. I trust him. I trust him. Psalms 125, if you're there, praise God. Oh, Jesus, Lord have mercy. Let me finish this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a confidence rising on the inside of you. Verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Now notice what he said. He said he compares you to a mountain. Well, what is it about a mountain that he's comparing us to? He said, you can't be moved. You can't remove a mountain. It's there. It's committed to that spot. It's committed to that place. And he says the ones that trust the Lord, they're just like that mountain. Can't be moved. They're committed to their spot. They're committed to that place. I'm committed to God as my source. I'm committed to leaning on Him. I'm committed to depending on Him. I'm committed to relying on Him. I'm like a mountain. You can push, but I remain the same. Turn to your neighbor and say, hello, mountain. And like this mountain, our trust is eternal. Our trust for God will abide forever. And verse 2 says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. You see, your scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, lest the righteous, lest God's people, you better watch out, lest we stretch forth our hands to iniquity and apostasy. So if you want to enjoy true prosperity, then you have to enjoy the mystery of trusting Him. Of trusting Him. Now let's go to Mark chapter 10. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, yes, sir. Amen. Mark chapter 10. Now look at verse 17 now. Now here's what we got to do now. You're familiar with the story of the rich young ruler? Verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the God kind of life, the Zoe type of life. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Then he lists six commandments. He said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. And honor thy father and mother. He said in verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. All these six, the ones that were mentioned to him. He observed it from his youth. Now, there were some that he did not make mention of. But he says, I've observed these from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, what did he do? Loved him. And said unto him, one thing thou lacks. Go your way, sell what you have to sell. Didn't tell him to give away everything. Sell what you have to sell. Give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. Verse 22, and he was sad at that saying. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He was sad at that saying. You know, like how some church folks are on Sunday morning, the Lord says, give $1,000 check and you are sad at that saying. Well, what is it that will cause a man to be sad at hearing instructions from the Lord Jesus? What'll bring a person where they're sad? Well, the scripture gives a hint here. He said he had great possessions. I tend to think that great possessions will have you when you become sad at that thing. I tend to think there may be a level of trust in those possessions that will outweigh the level of trust that you should have towards God. And notice what he said in the next verse. Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto him, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into God's way of doing things, enter into the kingdom of God? What happens when you trust riches? Now listen to me. One of the things that's so easily commands people's trust is money. Many people's souls are tied to and anchored on their money. And God does not bring multiplication the way of such people because it will lead to their destruction. The minute your trust is in money, then God's going to withhold it to a level where you will keep believing God for every meal because you're putting more trust in money than you are in God. There's a scripture for that. Go to Proverbs 11. Look at this. Proverbs 11, 28. Let me show you this right quick. Proverbs 11, 28 talks about this. Verse 28. Proverbs 11, 28 says, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." We don't lean. We don't depend. We're not making money our source. You can't make money your source. You've got to make sure that God's your source. Money cannot be the source. When money becomes your source, then you're like what we read in Jeremiah. You're trusting. That's how the world, that's how they think. Money has become their source, which is why they're doing stupid stuff to try to get it. When money is what determines your countenance, then that shows where your trust is. Is money determining your countenance? Look what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 6. You're familiar with this. Now, y'all know I'm getting ready to say something. That's why I'm easing into this. Making sure you got it down. I wrote this portion down so I can make sure I say it right. But look at this, 1 Timothy 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17 says to charge them. Charge them that are rich in this world. Charge them that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. He calls the money that people put their trust in, he calls it uncertain. And if anything we have taken note of from the crisis that the world is having is that it was uncertain. Their 401k was uncertain. The stock market was uncertain. He said, don't put your trust in things that are uncertain. But put your trust who? In the living God, who will do what? Who giveth us richly what? All things to enjoy. Put your trust in him. The Amplified says, as for the rich in this world, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Hallelujah. That money in your bank account or in your pocket is not what holds your tomorrow. So don't you trust it. You listening to me? Now, the only way to show that you don't trust money is to give it. Uh-oh, it got quiet in the house. It's to give it out. I mean, you trust it. That's why you can't give it. When you trust God, he gives you all things richly to enjoy. And as you keep on demonstrating your trust in him, he keeps on blessing you with favor night and day and night and day. That's the truth, though. And maybe that's an area we can just continue to judge ourselves on. That I trust God. I don't know if there's been many people who have been told by God, and I know there are some, but to give $1 million. You better trust God if you're going to do that. But I've been told a few times in my life, write a check for $1 million. I mean, you know, you got to trust God. Now, the first time he told me to do that, ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. I was sitting in a meeting and Taffy was right there by me. He told us both at the same time. But later I asked Taffy, I said, how come you didn't tell me God told you? She said, I didn't want you to fall in the middle of the floor. I mean, you're talking about, and I'm talking developing in this. I went before God and I decided, God, I'm gonna give you the honor to speak where giving is concerned. And I was in the middle of church service and I said, Lord, I just started doing it. Father, I just thank you so much. Oh, thank you, Lord. What do you want me to give an offering? He said, $10,000. I said, Satan, I bind you. $10,000? And the Lord said, you know that wasn't the devil. You're going to be obedient or not. Now, I gave it, but I still didn't let it go. And that's just as bad. I wrote the $10,000 check, put it in the bucket, but then I followed that bucket down every aisle. Ooh, Jesus, string was still on it. They stacked the bucket. I know exactly which one mine was. I was sitting. I forgot about service. I was following that bucket. The Lord was like, let it go, let it go. I'm like, oh, you sure that was you? You sure, you know, just you know, like I was going to run and get it back. Hold up, my bad, I changed my mind. Give me my money back. You know, it's kind of like what folks used to do in church. They used to ask, yeah, make change while they passing the bucket. They put a $5 bill out, say, you got change for a $5. They take $4 and put one in. Then when the bucket went outside, my imagination took over. I was just following that bucket. God said, you messing your harvest up, boy. You're gonna have to let this thing go. Well, when the Lord spoke and he said, I want you to give $10 million. I'm pressing towards 10. I haven't got to 10 yet. Gotten 2, but I haven't got to 10 yet. And I sat there and I was like, you know, are you serious? And then I didn't hear nothing else. And most of the time when that happens, it's like, you know what? He's not going to sit up here and debate with me. This is what he said, and I'm going to either obey it or not. But I'm like, don't just say that and leave. Just. And so I had it all figured out. All right, I'm going to do it in increments. And then I heard him again. He says, and I want you to wire it. The whole amount. I said, when? He said, as soon as you leave here, wire it. I said, all right, fine. So I'm getting ready to go sit down. And then he said, now I want you to announce it to everybody. I said, what about give in secret? He said, no, I know you. Once you say it, I know you're going to do it. Oh, yeah. You'll be confronted with who you trust. It just dawned on me. What I got came from him. He ain't broke. I'm getting ready to sow something that he's going to be responsible for. Who do you trust? God or mammon? And you got to rely on him. Job went through something similar to this, and he made this declaration. Job chapter 31. Look at this. He was recounting his integrity, in a sense, before the Lord. And this is what he said, Job 31, verse 24. All right, here we go. He said, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. He's recounting his integrity before the Lord, and he's including the fact that gold was not his hope, fine gold was not his confidence. You see, whatever else you trust apart from God, makes you a betrayer. And we will not betray God. Can I share about 3 more scriptures? Look at Psalms 112. See, there y'all go. Greedy, greedy, greedy. Psalms 112. Now look at this now. Hallelujah. Woo! I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it right now. I heard that. Ah, ha, 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 ha. I declare millionaire status in this place right now in the name of Jesus. I declare it right now in the name of Jesus. I make a decree right now in the name of Jesus that supernatural money is about to invade your house. Yes, I say it. 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 Amen. Glory to God. Because, see, we're not dependent on what's going on. And we're not looking at the economy to try to figure out how it's going to be done.
That's right.
We trust God, not the economy. We're looking at God's economic system. Now, Psalms 112, verse 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's your harvest. What I'm seeing right now in the spirit, your harvest, some of you, it's been dammed up. And when that decree was made, the dam was broken. If you will depend on God where this is concerned, and if you'll trust God where this is concerned, and if you'll not put your trust in the arms of the flesh and just continue on in what you've heard this week, there will be supernatural finances that'll begin to show up, and you'll have no choice but to declare, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. My God, I believe it. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. All right, this is it right here. Look at this. Psalms 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Now, check his heart out. Check his heart out. His heart is what? Fixed. Doing what? His heart is fixed. His heart is firmly fixed. He is fixed. He's like that mountain. He is committed. He is fixed. He is leaning. He is trusting. He is relying. He is depending. He is fixed. He's leaning on and being confident in the Lord. He is leaning and being confident. His heart, verse 8, is what? Established. Watch this. And steady. He will not be afraid. While he waits to see his desire established upon his adversary. Now, please wait a minute. Now, when you start looking at your desires upon your enemies, my desire, your desire, is not to see our enemies punished and go to hell. My desire for my enemies is to see them born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, worshiping and praising God. That's my desire for my enemies. Now, my enemies may not have that desire for me, but that is my desire for them. They may want to see you hurt. They may want to see you, you know, not make it. But not, that's not so with us. We're operating out of the heart of love. Glory to God. And look what he says. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Somebody shout, no fear.
No fear.
What do you mean? When I am committed to stay there, there will be contradictions that will show up to be heard. Contradictions that will show up to be seen. Contradictions that will show up
to try to get you to believe that what God promised won't come to pass. And you must not be established in the contradictions to the word. Consider Jesus, who endured such contradictions, lest you be wearied, watch this, and faint in your mind. So the mind is going to be the battleground. Your mind is going to be the place where the enemy desires to get in to try to get your attention on the contradiction. And as long as you're established like a mountain and refuse to pay attention to the contradiction, fear won't be able to get in. Fear won't be able to get in. You stand firm in confidence and trust. Amen. And look what he says. He that he has dispersed, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it. And they're going to be grieved. And they're going to be angered. And they'll gnash his teeth and disappear in despair. And the desire of the wicked shall perish and come to nothing. So their desire for us won't come to pass. Get mad because you won't change your mind about what the word says. Get upset because you won't quit preaching prosperity. They attacked you and you preached it more than you ever preached it. They're angered and mad. Because we're fixed.
Yes.
Somebody shout, I cannot be moved.
I cannot be moved.
Say out loud, I'm like a mountain.
I'm like a mountain.
Oh, Jesus. Let me squeeze these two in right quick and we got to get you out of here. Proverbs chapter 3. You're familiar with this. Proverbs chapter 3. Somebody said, how can you preach with all these people walking? Obedience never bothers me. There have been certain cases when I'm preaching at church and I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm the one who needs to shut up. When they start shouting and everything, maybe I need to shut up and start praising God with them. Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Look at what he says. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not under what you understand about it. Lean on, rely on, depend on, trust in him, be confident in him, make him your source with all of your heart and your mind, and do not rely on your own insight or your own understanding about this. Don't get your understanding from the news media. Don't get your understanding from the so-called financial experts. We get our understanding from the word.
Absolutely.
We trust in the word and what the word has to say about the situation. We're in Goshen, not Egypt.
Amen.
I said we're in Goshen, not Egypt. There is still multiplication in Goshen. There is still increase in Goshen. There is still light in Goshen. Turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to Goshen.
Welcome.
Right, now watch this. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean to what you understand about it. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I'm telling you, man, every unholy marriage with money, I command a divorce right now. Every unholy connection to money, I command a divorce right now. Every covetous mindset where money is concerned, I command a divorce right now. I grant the divorce right now.
Amen.
God is my source. I said, God is my source. I said, God is my source. Amen. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Amen. Well, we'll finish this tomorrow morning. You get anything out of it? Stand to your feet for a moment. Lift your hands up and make this declaration after me. In the name of Jesus, I have decided to be like a mountain. I have decided to lean on, rely upon, depend upon, to make my source God Almighty and His Word. Therefore, in Jesus' name, I am committed to this life of faith. No matter what, I will not be moved. Therefore, I declare that I'm blessed. I am blessed as a result of my trust. And I give you praise for it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Amen.